Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We hope that you find this encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, then visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
We are doing a summer series all about the book of Proverbs, okay? And we're going to be teaching some of the key things that are taught throughout the book of Proverbs, because it's this extremely practical book, I said this last week, that teaches us how life just generally tends to work, okay? It's a book that is loaded with wisdom on so many different subjects, and it's really used to teach and to train and to show us how to make the most out of life, all right? I said last week that whilst Proverbs is usually taken as this book that's this work-based rule book for living, okay? And I tried to say and suggest that it's actually not that. It's more of a description on how life tends to go rather than a prescription of this is what you must do. It's just a general idea of, like, if you eat too much honey, you will be sick, okay? Just general little common sense, things like that, okay? So here's the thing. It's not really a law book, but more a book of advice. And I talked last week that it's always done in the motive of love, like a dad sharing what he's learned to his children, like learn from me, learn from my mistakes, learn from what I've observed from life. And we're going to be looking at that over the entire course of the summer, all the different topics like relationships and anger and money and all the things that are covered in Proverbs. So while this book is loaded with so many wise sayings, one of the things that I said last week when I was talking about wisdom, if you didn't hear that, go and listen to it, the empty podcast in an echoey room, it's fantastic. But if you didn't hear that, one of the things I was talking about was that wisdom is more than just simply knowing information, okay? It goes beyond intelligence, okay? And I was kind of joking that intelligent people are sometimes not wise, okay? We know that, common sense people. And here's the thing, true wisdom is putting knowledge into practice. That's when we see wisdom work itself out. When the stuff we know, we start to live by it. That's what true wisdom is. And this morning kind of continues on nicely, because I'm going to take it a little step further and talk about this whole idea of taking initiative, okay? Because that's something that we're expected to do, to take initiative. One of the things that we very rarely make whimsical decisions in our house, okay? Each decision is carefully thought out, planned, prayed about, talked about with older, wiser people. I talked about that last week. But we have only really, that I can think of, made one whimsical decision, and it was in the form of a dog, okay? Worst decision I have ever made, okay? And it was kind of made in, like no joke, 20 minutes. Andrew and Penny were getting a dog, and I was kind of excited that they were getting a dog, to the point that then Aaron persuaded me that maybe my excitement for them was really that I wanted a dog. And I was like, maybe, don't really know. Well, before long, I had Penny on the phone double-checking that I was approving this decision, which I was, wholeheartedly. And lo and behold, we found ourselves with the most irritating, noisiest, cheekiest dog you have just ever experienced. Like, it was actually horrific, okay? I remember it was a nice idea when we were all in the house. It was fantastic, but then I happened to marry someone who tours, and then I'm left with a dog, okay? So this was, like, horrific. And I remember this one day, Lily came running down the stairs, and she's going, "Mom, you're actually going to kill the dog this time." I'm like, "What?" And I ran upstairs, and he had grabbed one of the nappies that was in a nappy bag outside. Yes, I know, it's really bad. Just picture lovely bedroom, white sheets, pillows everywhere, and then this nappy just exploded, like, everywhere, all right? It was just the biggest mess. It was one of those messes where you're going, do you know what, I don't actually even know where to start. I'm just going to close the room and pray that a fairy comes, okay? And I was like going, do you know what, there's nobody else here to do this. There's nobody else to fix it. Aaron, where are you? This is me and I have to fix it. I think Aaron might have been in the house at the time. It was just like, where do I even start? And the thing that booted out one night, because it actually tore I went to Dunnell Mill and got all these lovely pillows. I'm a real pillow girl. And it was just, my wee sofa was looking lovely. And I came home to just, like, snow. And the dog did actually get booted out. And I was like, please don't come back. And it didn't even twig on me that we got the thing chipped. Why we got it chipped, I will never know. This dog is destined to always find us. This is not good. But basically, like, that dog did nothing in my life but create this mess, right? An absolute mess. And I actually hated the thing. No joke, we don't have it anymore. Oh, rest in peace, Beasley. We didn't kill it, don't worry. Didn't kill it. I know Aaron is like known for killing animals and all that jazz, but we did not kill the dog. He's having a lovely, peaceful life in Rockport where he gets the run of a huge field, and he's loving it. But here's the thing, right? Sometimes life, in that moment when I walked into the room, went, what a mess. I'm not even going to deal with that. Close the door, okay? Sometimes our lives can look a bit like that, can't they? Where they just look so incredibly messy for whatever reason, whether it's our decisions, like buying a dog, right, whatever, whether it's other people's decisions, Aaron, whether it's influences that we can have control over, or whether it's influences that we have no control over, whatever the reason, life at times can just look pure messy, can't it? Just pure messy. And we have this choice to make. Do we just accept that, you know what, this is life, and life is just messy, and we just got to get on with it, because that's just what life is. There's parts of it just doesn't work. Or do we decide, actually, we don't need to stay in our mess. We have a choice to make. We're not going to accept it. Life's a mess, yes. But I think there's something deep down in all of us that hopes and realizes that actually we don't have to remain in a mess. Life's not meant to just be messy. And the whole idea with this series is that it's called Making Life Work. And like I said, it's based in the book of Proverbs. And here's the thing. We have this incredible opportunity when it comes to a relationship with God to have our lives, to have our mess look entirely different, okay? It's not just about getting by with whatever happens, c'est la vie and all that, but it's understanding that kingdom living isn't just this glamorous idea that Jesus said you can have life and life to all its full. It's not just this fantasy idea, but actually it's a reality if we let it be, so that our mess can be taken care of. And here's the thing that I said last week, that wisdom is knowing God's plan, but also following it. Okay, it's knowing what God's design for your life, for my life is, and it's following it. So a big part of all of this actually involves us taking initiative, playing our part, and seeing the Word of God transform our lives. There's a big part of that where we actually have to take initiative. I have no doubt at all that every single person in this room has at least one little area of their life that just isn't really cutting it. It isn't really working. I guarantee it in a room this size. It just doesn't work. It makes sense. It's messy. It's out of control. You don't know what to do about it, okay? You kind of know what God says about it, whether that's money or whether that's sickness or whether that's like marriage problems or kids or whatever. You know what God says about it. You know what God's idea for that is. But yet what you're experiencing seems a million miles away from what the Word of God says. So what do? You see, common sense tells us this, that when we have a problem, the thing to do is we find a solution, yeah, then we implement it, okay, so problem, solution, let's go, dead easy, okay, talk over, right, no, that's not, but here's the thing, right, that's the common sense, that's just what the way things tend to go, and it sounds dead easy that we just get on with it, but yet so many people and so many of us find ourselves stuck in the same rut, the same cycle, the same mess, time and time and time again. And here's the thing, there's a few things that people do whenever an area of life isn't working, right? One of the easy things to do is to just sit around and moan about it, okay? And yes, I know some moaners, I myself have been a moaner. But one of the things that's easy to do is just sit and complain about the problem, to talk about the problem, to analyze the problem, to talk about why the problem's here, to talk about who the problem maybe sometimes is. It's easy to point blame, it's easy to discuss it. You don't really consider fixing it, because actually it's just kind of nice just talking about it. And sometimes talking about it, we think we're fixing it, but all we're doing is talking about it, okay? And we're talking about it as the focus. And people are sometimes really happy just to do that and thinks that that's what you do. Problem shared, that'll fix it. Not always, okay? Some people fail to even connect the dots when it comes to understanding why things are the way they are. Some people take no responsibility whatsoever for any of their choices, okay, that they make. That sometimes you make a bad choice and you find yourself in a mess. And some people talk about that mess and go, oh, this mess, God, why did you put me in this mess? And they fail to go, actually, that was this decision that brought me here. And they start blaming God for the mess they're in, but yet can't connect the dots with the life choices that they're making. And it's something that you just see time and time again. Another thing that people do when it comes to a mess is they somehow, like my situation and the dog, they transport themselves to this idea of fantasy, okay? You know that there's a problem, that it's really not going to go away, like the nappy in the bedroom and the mess, and I can still see it, palpitations. But here's the thing, we kind of just hope that the problem goes away. We close our doors on that little area that's just not working, and we turn our backs and we go, maybe just magically, someone will pay my credit card bill. Maybe just magically, the bank will make a mistake and actually I'm not in debt. Maybe just magically, I will wake up and my marriage that is just horrific, I'm not saying ours is, by the way, but my marriage that's horrific will just one day be better, just out of the blue, click of the fingers, everybody's happy. One day my kids, even though they're crazy at times and they're not doing what I say, one day they'll just get it. One day, I'll wake up and that coursework that's been sitting for ages, maybe the homework fairies will actually do it, okay? We live in this fantasy idea that we'll just close the doors, turn our backs and just hope and pray to God that it fixes itself. And that's sometimes what people do. And people can live with this sense of one day it's going to get better, okay? But we know, and even the book of like Ecclesiastes and Proverbs tells us that the natural course of life, actually, if we do nothing about our mess, actually just goes downhill. Things don't naturally get better. Things actually go into a bigger state of disorder. In fact, if it's not looked at, our problems will only get worse. We'll close the door, and that's not going to fix it, okay? So the whole idea with this morning is that actually take an initiative is the theme, all right? Let me just make this really clear. As a church, okay, and the things that we teach from this church, we are 100% sold on the grace of God, okay? We totally get the finished work of Jesus, but yet at the same time, we totally understand that it's not about sitting back and waiting for our lives to just, like the click of a fingers, look different. It's understanding grace, but it's in grace that we have the power and the ability and everything we need to make our life work. Okay, so it's not just sitting going, okay, God, I believe you, give me your grace. Ta-da, life works. There is something that we have to do to grab hold of it and to make our lives work because of the very thing that's placed on the inside of us. And it starts by taking initiative. There's an old Chinese proverb that says this, if you want to see the view from the mountain, what do you have to do? You've got to climb it, don't you? And so many of us are just looking ahead and going, when I get there, it'll all be fine. But actually, see the journey to get there. We just don't want to do it. We don't know how to do it. We kind of just hope that we'll just magically appear there. And that's not what's going to happen. That's not what Proverbs tells us life is like. We have to put effort in to get to that place. And I'm not dissing grace at all because there's total wisdom when it comes to doing, okay? Here's the thing. There are three types of people in the world. There are those who don't know what's happening at all. There are those who watch what's happening, and then there are those who make things happen. Okay, so those who haven't got a clue what's happening, those who just watch what's happening, and those who make things happen. And from the book of Proverbs, we learn this, that wise people are the people that make things happen. Wise people are people who take initiative. They don't sit back and watch life just go by, but they take action to accomplish the things of God. They see a problem, they seek God, and they get to work. And there's so many verses scattered around that we're going to look at this morning from the book of Proverbs. And it's dedicated almost to showing us what happens when we don't take initiative. And we're going to look at some of them. But let's start, first of all, with these verses in Proverbs 6, okay, 6 to 11. It says this. It says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. That sounds really harsh, doesn't it? Dun, dun, dun. Here's the thing. There's a comparison here in this little bit of scripture between a sluggard and an ant, okay? Now, a sluggard is basically someone who's just pure lazy, right? Dead, slow, happy, just taking it all in, doesn't really do anything. And then you've got this aunt who's like a worker who takes initiative. And all of these verses kind of compare the two. Someone who does something and someone who just sits on their backside and does nothing. And there's a natural progression that tells us in the book of Proverbs that happens when a lazy person just doesn't fix their laziness, okay? They sit around, they wait on something to happen, okay? They just sit there, and it always leads to poverty. It always leads to a downhill cycle. It leads to lack, and they've got nothing to produce in life. The principle is this, that if we simply sit around and watch life pass us by, our lives aren't actually going to change, okay? It's kind of this whole idea that, yes, Jesus has done it, but if we're just going to sit there, actually, we might as well just read a story, okay, if we don't actually apply the Word of God. I'm not saying that we forget about grace, okay, and go back to let's work like an ant. I'm not saying that, okay? But the truth is this, that the grace of God is always worked in our lives, okay? It looks like something. It's not just this truth that we know. It's not just this knowledge, oh, yes, God loves me and I don't deserve it. Yay, it's not just something that we know. It has an expression. Our lives should look different when we experience the truth about God. That's just the way it works. Our lives work better when our actions are an overflow of a truth that we have in our hearts, okay? Because there is an action involved, but it doesn't come out of just doing. It comes from an overflow of what we know about the truth of God. There's an extremely fine line I've discovered, and I hope I communicate this well, between making something happen, okay, and working at it, and doing in a response to a revelation. There's an extremely fine line, because they both on the surface look the same. You're doing, you're producing, and you're working something, but only you and God know what you're working out of. Are you just working because that's what you do? Or do you really get this thing in your heart that actually it's just an expression of what's already in the inside? And that's what it should be. Taking initiative this morning is all about responding to a truth. This is not about living in fantasy world, closing the doors and hoping one day it'll figure itself out. If we just sit around passively, it won't work. So here's the thing that we can learn from this book, because we're advised to look, to study the ant and to learn from it and how an ant actually does life. So ants, I don't know if anyone's ever studied ants. Yep, me neither. Have you? Have you really? Oh, well done, husband. Well, here's the thing about ants. He probably has. See the Discovery Channel in our house. I'm fed up with it being on. I'm actually fed up with it. I hate the Discovery Channel. I'm all into mindless entertainment. But here's not learned what. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about ants. They're really focused. They're really, really hard working. Okay, if you've ever been somewhere and there's like ants everywhere, it seems like they never go to sleep. Okay, you're going, do you ever sleep things? You know, they're crawling over you. If you're at a beach and there's ants, they're crawling over you. If you've ever went camping and you go to sleep, you think, maybe they'll go away now. Oh, no, there they are. Okay, they just seem to be there all the time. They just are workers, okay? And here's the thing, they know the importance of teamwork. Okay, they get together as a team and they carry all your stuff away, okay? Maybe that's just the movies. No, I think they actually do that. But here's the thing, they don't need a leader. This is what this proverb snippet says. It says, even though they don't have a chief, an officer, or a ruler, they just get on with it. They don't need someone to give them a kick. Hey, we're going this way. They just know. They're self-motivated. They know what they have to do, and they do it. And the thing is that lazy people, sluggards, are the exact opposite. And they get such a hard time in the book of Proverbs, okay? There's loads of verses in there. So I'm going to look at some of the characteristics of a lazy person, okay? And I want you to think about your own self, because I was thinking about my own self when I was reading some of these. So here's one of the things about a lazy person. They sleep too much. Don't even laugh, mummy. Okay? I do sleep, I admit. Okay, so here's the thing. This is what it says in Proverbs 26:14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard turn on his bed. My mum and dad are totally laughing. I admit I have a wee afternoon nap. It's a nap, mummy, not a full-on four-hour sleep. Wait, here's the thing. Proverbs 19:15. Slothfulness, which is laziness, casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. There's this idea, okay? You ever get people who just lie in bed all day and then wonder why they don't have money or food or whatever. And they fail to connect the dots. Actually, you'll have slept into 4 p.m. I wonder what I'll do now. Okay, there is this principle that, do you know what? Lazy people, remember what I'm saying here. Laziness, even though it's tiny wee actions, it always leads to our lives just looking empty, filled with lack and filled with poverty. So lazy people sleep too much. That's the first thing. Lazy people make excuses. This has to be the all-time favourite proverb. I did not even know this one existed. Okay, so you've got a sluggard who doesn't really want to work, and this is his excuse. The sluggard says, "There is a lion outside, and I will be killed in the street." Right? That is amazing. Okay, if only I'd have known that when I was at school. I'm sorry, I couldn't do my homework. I couldn't deliver it on time because there was a lion outside. Okay, have you ever been in that position where you're just looking for an excuse? You know you need to do something. Okay, you know it's sitting there, it has urgent written all over it, but all of a sudden, something else comes up. It's like, I really need to pluck my eyebrows right now and not fill out that really important form that is going to produce whatever. I really need to, oh look, the kids need me all of a sudden. I'm there to the rescue. Have you ever just find yourself making excuses? You know what needs to be done, but yet you want to just find a reason. Dare you to use that? There's a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. That is one. Here's another thing about people who are known as sluggards. They are unteachable. Okay, they say this about them. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. People not only make excuses for their laziness, okay, but they think that they know best. When you try to correct them, when you try to teach them, when you try to train them, actually they are wiser and they have such the excuse that they know best, and you can't actually teach someone like that at all when they don't realise that what they're doing is maybe not the wisest choice. The other thing is that they're procrastinators. It's a little bit like kind of making excuses. How long are you going to lie there, oh sluggard? Will you arise from your sleep? They just put stuff off. You ever known people like that who just don't do it time and time again? They just put it off and go, I'll do it later. Do you want to do that now? I'll do it later. You know, do you want to fix the light bulbs? I'll do it later. Sorry, Aaron. Do you want to do this? And I'll do it later. And they just put stuff off and off and off. And here's the last thing about lazy people, is they're really incredibly irritating. Okay, this is how irritating. This is like really harsh. Ready for this one? Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eye, so is the sluggard to those who send them. Like vinegar to your teeth. Hey, this is really bad, isn't it? This is a church of love and grace. Okay, I'm getting to that bit. But like vinegar to your teeth, that's like pure. If you have sensitive teeth, you will know that that's just like, it's so frustrating and irritating. And smoke to your eyes, you can't see a thing. Lazy people irritate people. And do you know who they irritate the most? Busy people. See people that are really busy and have something to do. And then other people are just standing. I've had experiences where I'm really busy and I'm trying to do something, and someone who's not that much to do will maybe be just standing over me. You all right? Having a good time? Yep. What are you doing later? And it's like, do you know what? There's nothing more irritating. You're going, go and find something to do, people. And one of the things that it tells you in Proverbs is if you are like this, if you let these things dictate your life, well, actually, you're not going to get very far, okay? And a lazy person eventually leads his own life into ruin if he doesn't change. But the thing is that a lazy person can be changed. But this is the trick. The hardest part is that it involves taking initiative. If you love lying in bed, it involves you getting up. If you like making excuses, it involves you just like going, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. It involves you. It involves you taking a step towards change. Okay? And here's the thing. There's always an effort required to walk into everything that God has for us. Bill Hybels, in a book, teaches on this whole topic. It's amazing. It was such a good read. And one of the things that he talks about is this whole idea of like selective sluggardliness or something. So let's call it laziness. So he talks about selective laziness, okay? And he says that actually in this day and age, this is something that's is so subtle, but yet is ready to destroy us, okay? He says there's some areas in life that work just fine. Your marriage is good, your health is good, you're just doing brilliant. But yet there's one area, let's just say that it's money, that is just a disaster waiting to happen, okay? It's just out of all the things in life, it's the one thing that you just have no control over. You just seem to panic about it. And so what people are doing nowadays is instead of fixing that area, they just go, not going to be all right, sure, this is all sweet and rosy. I'll just forget about that, okay? And it says that, you know, even though it can look on the surface like everything's fine, he talks about little pockets of inactivity where we actually don't do anything with some areas that actually we should be taking care of, okay? Do you have something in life that you keep putting off? Is there one thing that you know is your area that you just don't even know where to start. It's too overwhelming. So you just close the door on it and go, uh-uh. So you make excuses about it, and one day it's going to get sorted. One day the magic fairies are going to come and it'll all be sorted. Perhaps there's areas that seem so hard to fix that we actually don't know where to begin. But here's the thing that I want you to know this morning, that God wants us to experience kingdom wholeness in our life, all of our lives, every single area. That bit that looks like a mess that you don't know where to start, he does. But yet it involves you taking initiative, seeing the problem, and actually trying to fix it with him. So here's the thing. Our whole lives, and maybe only areas, can look like a mess for whatever reason. But the truth and reality this morning is that they don't have to stay that way. Aaron said it after the worship there. He says that God is just ready to come and lift us out. And yes, that is so true. But you know what has to happen first? We need to look up and put our hand out for him to do that. Okay? God's not someone who just comes and just lifts everybody. People that don't want lifted, let me down. I don't want lifted. We actually have to almost be part of that with him. He's going to take hold of us. But yeah, we have to take hold of him, okay? He's ready to show us this amazing plan for our life. But you know what? We have to choose to trust and follow. It's like a two-step thing. The beautiful thing for us is that God has provided everything we need to make our lives look better. Every single thing we need, he has provided for us. It's about receiving his grace. And his grace is the ability and the power to actually make our lives work. It's not that he's going to magically fix everything, but that he's going to equip us to do that. Here's the thing. It starts with wisdom, and it starts with knowing truth. But we always need to respond to what God is saying. Romans is this perfect example. The first 11 chapters of Romans is this amazing description about the grace of God, about the good news of Jesus. And then in chapter 12, it says, therefore, in view of all this, and then from those chapters on, it tells us what our lives should look like. So you've got, this is the good news. Now here, because of that, this is what your life should look like. And Galatians as well is extremely practical. There's an overflow of grace that affects our lives, that has an effect on our actions. And see, to be honest, this is what I think is known as working out your salvation. It's having it all on the inside, but it's yet from the inside out. That's what we're trying to get our lives to look like. Yes, we stand in an incredible finished work of Jesus. There's no more work to be done. But you know what? We always talk about rest. And we always say, you're meant to walk into rest. And I totally am for that. I believe that 100%, that that's what we're meant to be doing. But here's this. Here's this idea. Resting doesn't mean you're doing nothing. Okay? Resting doesn't mean that you're not doing anything at all. It's foolishness to think that you don't have anything to do. Now, hear me what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we have a work to do. But let's read from Hebrews 4, 9 and 11. 9 to 11, sorry, it says this. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his own works, as God did from his. So there is a rest from works to get stuff. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience, okay? So what I'm saying here is that there's no work to be done when it comes to the things of God. It is done, it is finished, and we can rest in that. But resting doesn't mean that we do nothing. Even in this portion of Scripture, we have to strive to enter that rest. There's an effort required on our part to enter that rest. There is faith required on our part to receive the grace of God. If it was grace and grace alone that saved everyone, then actually the whole world would be saved because God has provided it. But we know that to get grace, what you have to do, you have to believe. You have to come and take hold of that grace that has been provided. There's a part that we have to play. So when we talk about rest, okay, one of the things that quite often comes up is looking back to the whole way that the world was created, that man was created on day six. So therefore, man's first day of ever living and breathing a whole day was the Sabbath. It was the rest day. And I love that man was created to rest. But I want you to look at this verse in Genesis 2:15. It says, so the Lord took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Okay? So here's the thing. Adam and Eve, yes, were made for rest, but they had to maintain and keep what God had already done. Okay, if they were to just sit down and do nothing, okay? That would have been very foolish, because God had said, here is this beautiful thing that I've given you. Now you just need to keep it. You need to maintain it. It's not wise. It's not a biblical principle to sit down and do nothing. We're called to get up and to put our faith into action, to apply truth and the revelation revealed in God's word. Here's the thing. It's one thing knowing that God doesn't want us to live in lack. It's one thing knowing that. Like, God's a God who wants to prosper us. God's a God who wants to bless us. And then it's another thing to be wise with money. Okay, so you people may be sitting in debt from the poor decisions that they've made, and yet they know this truth about God. So what does that look like? How do you fix that? How do you take initiative? Do you know what? You take initiative by, first of all, realizing that the check for the right amount of money that you need, that only happens sometimes, okay? Being honest, that only happens sometimes. We're people who are called to take initiative, to start being wise with our money, to start making better choices, and knowing that whatever we put our hand to, God is going to bless that, okay? God is going to bless that. And I totally believe God is a God of miracles, and a check could come through your door. But you know what? I wouldn't recommend sitting waiting on it. Honestly, I think that God actually, in wisdom, wants you to go out, and he's placed in you the ability to prosper. He's placed in you the ability to get favor. All that is with you already. So here's the thing. Remember that wisdom isn't knowing information. It's implementing it in our lives. So the way we apply the word of God to our lives is really important. James 1, 22, 24 puts it like this. He says, be doers of the word, not only hearers, but you deceive yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he looks like. You see, the word of God only works when it's applied. When it's not applied, we might as well be reading a novel. Like, seriously, whenever we don't take the truth and live it out, we might as well just seriously read a novel. Here's what it says in James 2, 14, 17. It says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith serve him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, without giving the things that's needed for their body, what good is that? So also faith by itself without works is dead. Okay, faith without works is dead. We have the ability to speak life. We have the ability to know what to do. But it's one thing, I'll pray for you, brother. I need a tenner to fill my car. I'll pray for you. Okay, right? But there's a practical element to it, all right? And it says that faith without works is dead. Faith on its own doesn't stand. There's an action involved. So the lesson in Proverbs is really, really simple. You look at the ant and you take note. I was panicking about this sermon because I thought the last thing I want to do is people to walk away from here thinking that this is all about works again, okay? And I really hope that I've communicated that right. But this, honestly, is not a sermon about works. But we need to be real and examine our lives. When we see an area that's messy, that doesn't seem to work, what are we doing in that area? Are we seeking God? Are we working alongside him and what his plan for that area in our lives is? What are we really, really believing? What are we believing? Are we living in fantasy land where we're closing our eyes and just hoping one day this will all figure itself out? Are we going to take initiative and realize, actually, I have all the tools that I need to make my life work the best that it possibly can? Perhaps we get a little bit lazy in some areas, don't we? We know what it should look like. We know that Jesus has accomplished on the cross and provided for us. But it just sometimes seems like too much effort to even implement it, doesn't it? That when Jesus died for our healing, we get that. But yet part of that is believing. And part of that seems so hard and annoying, and that we have to read the Bible. And it says that faith comes by hearing the word, not by having heard the word. So it's a continual thing where we remain in God's word. And it just seems like so much effort. And some of us don't want to do that. Some of us just wanted it all handed to us on a silver platter with no requirement from us at all. Some of us want God to come and scoop us out, but we're not prepared to take hold of him. That the easy way out that everyone talks about doesn't exist. Does not exist. There is no easy way out. Here's the thing about lazy people. Proverbs 26:15 says this. Says the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and it wears him out to even bring it back to his mouth. I think that's amazing. You see this lazy person having dinner, going, so hungry, there's my dinner. Doesn't even tell you how his dinner got there. It's probably set in front of them. So he puts his hand in and he's like, I ain't even bothered lifting my hand out to even get it in my mouth. All right? So here's the thing. See, in church, this is one of the things that Andrew's really passionate about, is I think we do deliver great words, okay? We teach from the Bible, and we're laying it all out here, like food, all right? I'm not coming down there and forcing you to take this and to implement it. I'm suggesting that if you do, it's really good. I'm not going to force feed you, but you have an opportunity. Do you take truth, and do you let it transform you? Here's the platter, but you have to feed yourself. If you're just going to sit there and go, I actually, there, my hand's in it, couldn't be bothered lifting it, seriously, are you kidding me? Why don't you just come? And some people are looking for people to do that. Some people are looking to actually get fed and for it to work without them having to do anything. Are we going to sit in our mess and just hope that it will work out? Or are we going to realize that the finished work of the cross is on the inside of us? Grace is not about just a pardon from God that we don't deserve. That's just not what it is. There's more to it. It's the power and the ability on the inside of us for our lives to look different. We need to be people who take initiative. We need to be people who work with God. And our greatest example of initiative is from God himself. Because with initiative, he created the world. We messed up and he took initiative and he responded with a plan. Okay, he became the solution to our problem. It was his initiative to redeem us. But yet he left it with us because it's our initiative to reach out and believe that. It's our initiative to reach out and take hold. It's one thing knowing God's plan. It's one thing knowing it, but it's another thing implementing it, okay? It's another thing taking initiative and watching this stuff work in your lives. Let's not be people who make stupid choices, who make foolish choices, and then go, God, why have you let this happen to me? Let's be people who take responsibility. Who take responsibility that sometimes actually we do mess up, but you know what? We have the power to change that in our lives because it's on the inside of us. Can I ask the band to come up? What I want you to do this morning, just as we're worshiping and as we finish off our service, I want you to seriously examine the parts of your life that maybe aren't working, okay? Instead of pointing blame, instead of trying to figure out why that's not happening, I want you to honestly consider this. What are you believing in that area? Are you believing what God says about your finances? Are you acting on that? Are you believing what God says about your health? Perhaps your health is horrific, but yet you're doing all this stuff that actually doesn't complement your situation, okay? You're maybe overeating, you're maybe not eating the best of food, you're maybe putting stuff into your body that is going to deteriorate, okay? Are you making wise choices in response to what God's word actually says? And I want you just during worship to think about that. Let's be people who don't just sit around and wait for the magic click to happen, but let's be people who get up, who realize there's the power that's on the inside of us and actually take initiative to go and change our messes. Amen.